Results have started coming in from the Iowa caucuses, but it's still too close to declare a winner.
It's actually given a big boost to candidates who maybe didn't perform all that well in Iowa. It's allowed them to be able to have an entire night where each one of the candidates are able to go out and have a victory speech and then say, we're going on to New Hampshire, without there actually having been any results come out.
Plus, President Trump says he'll deliver an optimistic State of the Union address tonight. He'll be speaking on Capitol Hill a day before the Senate's final vote on impeachment tomorrow. It's Tuesday, February 4th. I'm Anne-Marie Fertoli for The Wall Street Journal. Here's what's news. The U.S. has been taking steps to offset the dominance of Chinese telecom giant Huawei in building out 5G, the next generation of wireless technology. In an exclusive, we report that the White House is working with U.S. technology companies to develop standards that would allow 5G software to run on machines from nearly any hardware manufacturer. The administration hopes that will reduce or eliminate the reliance on Huawei equipment. White House economic advisor Larry Kudlow said Dell, Microsoft, and AT&T are part of the effort. Kudlow also said Tuesday in an interview with Fox Business Network that the fallout from the coronavirus outbreak in China could delay, though not derail, the economic boost expected in the U.S. from the nation's Phase One trade deal. The deal calls for China to increase its purchases of U.S. goods and services over the next 2 years. Kudlow says the purchases may be affected by economic strains on China, which is working to contain the spread of the virus. So far, the virus has infected more than 20,000 people and killed at least 425. We report exclusively that Macy's plans to close 125 department stores, a fifth of its locations, over the next 3 years. The closures will be in weaker malls and shopping centers, and the company plans to open smaller stores in strip malls. Macy's is also cutting about 2,000 jobs, or 10% of the retailer's corporate and support staff. Some of the changes were announced internally on Tuesday, ahead of plans to share the details with investors on Wednesday. We also report that the owner of the New York Stock Exchange has made an offer to acquire eBay for more than $30 billion. Intercontinental Exchange is interested in owning eBay's core online marketplace business, according to people familiar with the matter. But the companies aren't in formal talks, and it's unclear whether eBay would agree to a deal. eBay shares rose up more than 8%. Shares of Intercontinental Exchange fell more than 7%. It's been nearly a full day since the start of the Iowa caucuses, and we still don't know who won. Partial results show former South Bend, Indiana Mayor Pete Buttigieg is leading with about 27% of the state's delegates, followed closely by Vermont Senator Bernie Sanders with 25% and Massachusetts Senator Elizabeth Warren trailing with 18%. Party officials said the delay was due to a bug in the app that was being used to report the caucus results last night, prompting officials to tally up the results manually. Democratic Party Chair Troy Price addressed the delay late Tuesday.
Now, the fact is that as we started doing this last night, it took longer than we expected. And so, but my paramount concern is making sure that these results are accurate and reflect what happened last night in caucuses across the state. We're going to do just that, and we're going to take the time we need to do that.
Joining me now from Washington with more details on just what happened and how it's going to affect the rest of the 2020 race is Wall Street Journal reporter Chad Day. Chad, the candidates are already focused on New Hampshire, which holds its primary next Tuesday. How has the delay in results from Iowa impacted their momentum?
You know, I think what it's done is it's basically allowed it's actually given a big boost to candidates who maybe didn't perform all that well in Iowa. It's allowed them to be able to have an entire night where each one of the candidates are able to go out and have a victory speech and then say, we're going on to New Hampshire, without there actually having been any results come out. And so, you know, in terms of momentum, it actually has robbed, the winner of the caucus from having that spotlight. And, you know, really what the Iowa caucuses always kind of serve as is a way for people to kind of pick up momentum going into the next states. And maybe that's not going to happen as much here because every single one of the top candidates was able to say, we're on to New Hampshire.
So we knew last night that these votes were going to be delayed. What is the latest info you can tell us about the cause of the delay in results? What more have we found out about the app used to report the results, and what went wrong last night?
Right. So what we're finding out is that, you know, dribs and drabs are coming out now, and I think we still don't know everything that's happened. But what happened was that they had rolled out this app to be able to tabulate the results, and they were trying to do this so that it would be a lot faster to get the results out. Obviously, that didn't go the way that they wanted it to. Instead, there were problems on one end where people were not properly trained with the app, didn't know how to use it. And then on the other end, it's that when vote tabulations were being put into the app, they were actually collecting that information correctly, but they were not reporting it out correctly. And so whenever Iowa officials noticed that and saw that problem, they basically had to revert to the backup system and start going through, reviewing each one of the paper trail of each one of the caucuses. And so that has obviously taken a lot of time and resulted in there being, you know, almost a 24-hour longer delay in seeing any kind of results.
And Chad, how about the logistics of what's been happening overnight and for much of today, confirming the vote and checking the accuracy? How did that work?
Well, so what they're doing is they're making sure that the vote tallies that are actually in the computer system match up with the paper trail that they had at the different caucus sites. You know, there's more than 1,700 caucus sites across Iowa. And, you know, one thing that kind of has gotten missed in this is that, yes, you know, we didn't see results last night. There were expectations that they were going to come out. There was a problem with this app. However, you know, the backup system that was in place appears to be working. You know, they didn't release any results that were erroneous. And instead, it appears that the party is trying to make sure that, you know, they're getting it right. And so I would urge a little bit of caution as we're looking at this as, you know, oh, it was a kind of a disaster or an embarrassment for the party. Yes, it was. It's not what they expected to have happen. But in terms of, you know, actual votes being manipulated or actual votes going out to the public that were erroneous, you know, that did not happen.
And importantly, the party, the Democratic Party in Iowa, has confirmed that there was no security breach or anything like that.
You know, I think what we can say is that the party has said that they have not seen signs that there was any kind of security breach or hack. It's very difficult to make that determination, I would say. What it does appear and what they have pointed out is that there was a bug in the software for the app that resulted in problems. And so, I think what's going to kind of looking forward, there's going to be a lot of questions about, was this app properly tested? Did it have enough review from people who are qualified cybersecurity researchers or people who do this for a living, you know? And so those are all of the questions that we're kind of digging into right now is, how did this happen? And, how can you prevent it from happening in the future?
Yeah, certainly a lot of questions coming out of this. And what happened last night is also raising questions about Iowa's role in kicking off the nation's nominating contest. And fair to say, questions about faith in the system.
I think that's right. I think, you know, when voters see this, where they see, you know, irregularities and problems, you know, that's going to undermine their faith. And so already you have a Democratic Party right now where a large part of it is very suspect of establishment candidates, very suspect of the DNC. And you have a lot of supporters of Bernie Sanders, some of Elizabeth Warren as well, who say that, you know, this is a Democratic Party that needs to be shaken up. And I think that this further, you know, reinforces some of their thoughts that, there's suspicion with the voting system, there's suspicion with the Democratic Party and the process. And, you know, any time that you have something like this, whether it is, and it appears so, you know, right now to be a situation where it's either incompetence or, mistakes were made and not something where there's a grand conspiracy, it is going to undermine people's faith in it. And that's where in the kind of the vacuum of information that we've had over the last little while, that's why you've seen that kind of bubble up on social media.
And looking ahead, Nevada has now said it will not use the app that was used last night in Iowa for its caucuses, which are coming up later this month.
Yeah, that's right. And I think that they basically didn't want to be Iowa. You know, they saw what happened last night and said, you know, maybe we should go back to the system that we've used before. I also think that what you'll see from states going forward is that ahead of Iowa's caucuses, they were talking about, you know, setting expectations very high, saying that results were going to come out very quickly, saying that they, you know, had instituted all of these kinds of, you know, a new app and things like that. And that set people up to be expecting things to come out last night. I think you might see other states say, you know, we're going to take our time and you're going to get results after we verified them and try to set a little lower bar. That way people are not, you know, basically, you know, riding on very high expectations and then very disappointed whenever they don't see results almost immediately.
President Trump, of course, did criticize the process, calling what happened a, quote, unmitigated disaster. Democrats have also faced calls for greater transparency. Where does this leave us?
You know, it's really hard to tell because of the way the news cycle goes right now. Everything is so fast-paced. And I think that, you know, one of the things that the candidates, it's hurt the candidates because they kind of missed their window here. We're now going to have a State of the Union. We're going to have pretty much an assured acquittal in the impeachment trial. And so, you know, and then all the candidates are looking at New Hampshire. And so, you know, the news cycle is already kind of moving on. And so, you know, whether or not this will have some kind of lasting impact and be something that turns into a talking point that Republicans see that they can use it against Democrats, or, you know, whether or not Democrats will look at this and say, you know, this was a warning shot. We really need to, you know, get things in order in terms of our infrastructure around different caucuses, and maybe we need to rethink Iowa. I think that time will tell. You know, right now it seems very fresh, but just given the way that the news cycle goes, you know, we'll see if we're talking about this in 3 weeks.
And we, of course, here at The Wall Street Journal will continue to follow that. Wall Street Journal reporter Chad Day joining me from Washington. Thank you so much.
Thanks for having me.
For our full election coverage, please head to our website, WSJ.com. And sandwiched right between the Iowa caucuses and a final vote in the Senate impeachment trial tomorrow is President Trump's State of the Union address. Joining me now from Washington with what we can expect from the president is Wall Street Journal White House reporter Andrew Astucia. So, Andrew, the timing here is pretty interesting. This comes after the Iowa caucuses and ahead of a final vote in the Senate on impeachment. What can you tell us about that timing and how the president might address that during the State of the Union address?
Yeah, I mean, it's definitely potentially awkward for the president. I mean, he's been going through this lengthy impeachment trial in the Senate, but, you know, he's coming on stage tonight on a high note because he's likely to be acquitted tomorrow. And at the same time, you have the sort of mess that's going on in Iowa. So the president has spent all day on Twitter criticizing Democrats for the confusion around the results. And it's unclear if he's going to, you know, continue that message in the speech. The president and his advisors want the speech to focus on his agenda and not other issues. But, you know, the president is the president and he's unpredictable. And so we'll have to see what happens.
So those are two pretty big topics already. What else can you tell us about what might come up during the State of the Union?
Sure. Well, we know the theme. The theme is, quote unquote, the great American comeback. The president's going to focus heavily on the economy. His speech in Davos, Switzerland at the World Economic Forum a couple weeks ago is seen as a model for the speech when he basically made the case that he's the architect of the booming U.S. economy here. The president's advisors believe that the economy is really the key to his reelection. So that'll be a big topic. He's also going to talk about the lowering the cost of healthcare, national security, immigration, and helping working families, which in that part of the speech he's going to focus on his support for paid family leave and the affordable childcare.
What about the tone he might be looking to strike tonight?
This is a little bit of a divergence for the president. He has said publicly that he wants this speech to be optimistic in tone, to be positive. You know, he often spends quite a bit of time on the campaign trail and on Twitter listing off his growing list of grievances with any number of things, including the investigations against him. You know, the White House says that this is not going to be that kind of speech. They want it to be aspirational. They want it to be unifying in some way. But again, we'll have to sort of wait and see to hear exactly what his tone is going to be.
Wall Street Journal White House reporter Andrew Astucia joining me from Washington. Thank you so much, Andrew.
Thanks for having me.
President Trump will address the nation at 9 p.m. Eastern Time. After his address, Michigan Governor Gretchen Whitmer and Texas Representative Veronica Escobar will deliver the Democratic response. For our full coverage and analysis, visit WSJ.com. And that's what's news for this Tuesday afternoon. If you like our show, please rate and review us wherever you get your podcasts. I'm Anne-Marie Fertoli for The Wall Street Journal. Thanks for listening.